This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Do you know, I'm a different person than I was 40 years ago when I fully devoted my life to Jesus Christ. I mean, I got fully engaged with the Lord, and I have grown over these 40 years. I learned to love more. I learned what it means to be a servant. I mean, my heart has changed. My very character has changed. I've gone from stingy to being generous. I've gone from being impatient to being less impatient. I make better moral choices, you know. The inner me is different than it was 40 years ago. And on many different levels, because the Spirit of God has been at work in my heart and I've been engaged in the life of Jesus Christ. Now, I know many of you too. I've known some of you for 20 years, some for 15, 10, 5 years, even 1 year. And I see changes in your life too. I see some of you who are overcoming major issues in your life. I see some of you are becoming better husbands or wives. I see some of you who are learning how to forgive. All kinds of things are changing. Now, this kind of change is God's will for every believer. You know what I'm really talking about? I'm talking about spiritual formation. Spiritual formation is just the process by which your inner self is shaped to become more like Jesus Christ. That's what people mean when they talk about spiritual formation. And guess what the scriptures say? It is not optional. It's not something that we say, oh, maybe I could opt into spiritual growth or spiritual formation. Maybe not. No, no, no. The scriptures say it's not optional. In fact, look at 2 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies, grow in respect to salvation. In other words, man, don't stay a spiritual baby all your life. Don't stay static in life. Grow up as a Christ follower. In fact, Ephesians 4 says the same thing. We must grow up in every way to Christ, who is the head. In other words, don't box yourself in. Don't think, I'm good. You know, I'm a pretty good person. No, no, no. Instead, grow up how? In every way. So those of you who've been following Jesus Christ for many, many, many years, can you still say that you've grown up in every way? I don't think so. I think that's going to be a lifetime task and something that God is going to have to help us with. So every one of you has a spirit inside him or her, and everyone's inner life is being formed for better or for worse. And as Christians, we want to be formed for better. So these passages say very clearly, come on, grow up. Come on, don't stay a spiritual baby all your life. All of you Christians, all of us Christians who have been believers many years, it's possible not to act like a spiritual grown-up. In fact, some of you have known people who you thought, well, they became a Christian 10 years ago, but they seem virtually the same as they were 10 years ago. Well, they've stayed a baby, and they haven't been engaged in this idea of change. Now, I've known about this call to growth all my life, but as a new Christian, I was 18 years old, a newly devoted follower of Christ. I was a little confused about it. And I had a tendency to think of spiritual growth as so complicated. Man, I just felt overwhelmed. I saw the needs in my own life. I wondered what in the world I was going to do. And I just didn't know quite what to do. I thought about all the needs that I had. In fact, it reminds me of something that happened to Naomi and I a few years ago. Naomi and I bought from a big box store. We bought a barbecue. And when you buy a barbecue from a big box store, it comes in a big box, you know, and it is not assembled. And so we opened the box, and we put it all out on the ground, and I looked at the instructions, and I immediately wanted to walk away because it just looked overwhelming to me. But Naomi, who is more mechanical than I am, by far, took up the directions and said, oh no, Art, come on, we can do this. And, you know, just lay out the pieces. And then basically, Naomi told me what to do and I did it. Okay. Now I'll put that big, yeah, right, I've got it, honey. You know, but I think many of us feel that way. We see all of it. Oh, look at all the things that could happen in spiritual growth. We don't quite know what to do. We don't know what piece to put in place first. And so we get confused about it. Well, the question that I want to answer is, how can I opt into this spiritual formation deal? If spiritual formation is about my inner heart, my inner spirit becoming more like Jesus, how do I opt in? How do I get moving in that direction? And the question I want to answer then around that is, well, how do we grow as believers? How does that happen? How do we grow as believers? What are the actions that I can take to grow spiritually? How do I make progress as a believer? And my goal today is very simple. I want every one of you to walk away thinking, you know what? I can grow. There's something, some area in which I can grow in. And I hope that some of you also will connect with the Growth Project, which really goes even a little bit further and says, okay, you get accountable on this issue and work this year in this way. So let's ask the question then, what does spiritual growth actually look like? I mean, we could say this in a lot of different ways. Basically, spiritual formation is just becoming like Jesus. That's the basic issue. But, you know, it's pretty simple. It's not rocket science. But let's think about it this way today. If I had a video camera and I was going to videotape somebody for like, 5 years, various things in their lives, and at the end of 5 years, I think, when that person grew spiritually, I can see it. What would that video camera have captured over those 5 years? What would it be? Well, the first issue here is that you would have seen that believer grow in Bible knowledge. That's one element of spiritual growth. I mean, that person would be reading their Bible. They'd be hearing from God as they read. That word would be shaping their lives. And we get that from many places, but let me read you the full quotation of 2 Peter 2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So what do babies need for growth? They need the word of God. They need the milk. We need, as Christians, then, the milk of the word. And you don't get it? Your growth is stunted, And why is, now, some of you are going, well, Art, come on, I'm busy, I have lots to do. Is the Bible really all that necessary for spiritual growth? What makes it so vital? What makes it so important? Well, 2 Timothy tells us, this is very familiar to many of you, says this, all scripture is inspired by God, it's useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, giving instructions for right living so that you can be fully qualified and equipped. Guys, inspired by God just means it comes from God. It's God's letter to us. And when we read it, when we relate to it, we're dialoguing with God. Think about that. We're getting God's mind and heart about the issues in our life. But not only that, it says that it gives us spiritual truth. Man, you want to know how Jesus atoned for your sins? Man, it's in here. You want to know what's going to happen in eternity? Oh, we got it right here, okay? You know, what happens is the Word of God begins to shape the way that you think. It begins to shape your perspective on life. It has impact. But so it not only gives you the truth, it also protects you from error. I mean, think about it. If you hear somebody in the world say something like, you know what, this whole sex outside of marriage thing is way overblown by Christians, that's okay. Well, what does the scripture say about that, okay? That you'd want to, it has a word to say about that. If you heard somebody say, well, Jesus Christ was a good man, but he was just a man. Well, I think the scripture will protect us from that error. What if you say, somebody says, all religions get to the same God. Well, I think you can have a little handbook here that'll tell you, that'll keep you from that error. And that's what the scriptures do. Also, it says here that God's word corrects moral faults. Oh man, that's a tough one. And it gives us instruction for right living. So that, man, you want to know what attitude to take in the midst of a trial? You find it right here. You want to know what repentance really looks like? You find it right here. You want to know how to treat your spouse even when she's being a pill or he's being a pill? Yeah, you find it right here. And you can sum it up by saying the Bible contains both the content for our beliefs and the guidelines or commands for our behavior. Both beliefs and behaviors right here. So man, my thinking gets changed over time. And of course, I begin to respond to what I'm reading and act upon it. My life begins to change. Now, since that's true, if someone is growing to be more like Jesus, that's going to automatically include a greater awareness of God's word. And believe me, it will mean that you don't wait around for a service like this. You know, I'm glad you're here today, and I hope I'm going to be giving you some things that are right on about God's word. But man, it's like, how many of you like to eat just once a week? Anybody here? I don't think so. So we can't eat the word of God. We can't feast on the word of God just one time a week either. We need that, a constant flow for strength, for help, for health. So here's this videotape. Okay, man, over 5 years, we see this guy somehow, the word of God is active in his life. What else would we see on that videotape? Yeah, they're reading, they're responding to the Holy Spirit. They're reading, their lives are getting shaped. We would also see that person growing in Christian character. That is, you'd see that person become more loving, or you'd see that person become more self-controlled, or you might see them become, they used to be Eeyore, and now, you know, they're more joyful, or, you know, or whatever it would be. Over 5 years, you'd see that. Maybe you'd see them extending forgiveness to somebody. Their heart is becoming soft. Or you'd see them finding peace in some direction. So here's the problem with building character, though. Sometimes we're like five-year-olds. What do five-year-olds do? You tell them to do something, and they do it on the outside, but they don't do it on the inside. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. It happens. Well, sometimes as one of God's kids, we can obey on the outside, which is good. I'm glad you're doing that. But God wants you to internalize that. And he wants your character to be changed, not just your outside. And that's the reason that Galatians 5 tells us the bottom line. The Holy Spirit, get this, in Galatians 5, produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and the list goes on. Verse 25, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. You see that phrase, follow the Spirit's leading? What is it saying? It's saying that character growth is an inside job. When we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, when we sense what He wants and we follow that leading, the Holy Spirit begins to change us. In other words, spiritual formation is happening. The inner me is being conformed to the image of Christ. My character is changing. And I'm doing what he wants me to do. So when we respond to the Spirit and obey him, our hearts start to be changed. Now, friends, you've got to know something. This church service is not the most important part of your spiritual growth. I hope it's a good part. I hope it's an important part. Well, what's most important to your spiritual transformation? Your spiritual formation? What's most important is the indwelling power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And what's most important about that is your daily cooperation with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is ready to guide you towards God's best version of you. He's ready, he's willing, he's able, but it requires listening and cooperation and obedience. It's all about hanging out with the Spirit of Jesus every day, listening, and it's about surrendering to his voice. So how do we surrender? How do we yield to the Holy Spirit? Well, a number of things can be said, but I love a couple of things that Pastor Larry Osborne says about yielding to the Spirit, surrendering to the Spirit. First of all, he says, yielding to the Spirit means responding to the light or the truth that you already have. In other words, when you hear the Spirit's voice, then respond to his voice. And when you respond to his voice around an issue in your life, guess what happens? God gives you more truth, more light to respond to. And for example, maybe the Spirit of God is talking to you about your attitude. And, you know, your attitude stinks. All right, you got to do something about that. Come on, you can't have that attitude toward people you love. And I begin, yeah, Lord, I know you're right. Help me repent. I want to do something better. Well, he empowers me to do that. And then what happens? My character is literally changed. So since the Spirit is in our life, he can give us little course corrections all day. You know, you just stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. He can give you course corrections all day. But we've got to listen. We've got to respond. And it's, you know how I've been telling you last few months that, you know, your obedience switch has to be on. You know, the obedience switch in your life can be off or it can be on. And when you're trying to listen to the voice of God and the voice of the Spirit in your life, and when he says something, just respond with obedience, with the surrender. John Ortberg is a great pastor and speaker, written a book, The Me I Want to Be. He's written this about this whole issue of surrender. He says this: Jesus often identified the particular area where surrender was needed in a person's life. To the woman caught in adultery, he said, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. We need to surrender our sexuality to God, okay? Many times, surrender will involve money, because money is about trust and power and control. Often, surrender will include an act of self-disclosure about a grudge, attitude, habit, or sin. Sometimes when I'm with a friend, I am prompted to talk about a matter in which I have struggled or failed. And my immediate response is, generally, no way. Okay. At other times, I may feel prompted and feel the need to confront my friend about something that would make me uncomfortable. And my immediate response generally is, no way, okay? Then I have to decide, will I surrender when surrender means something uncomfortable? Wow, that's a good question, isn't it? Will I surrender when surrender means something uncomfortable? I can remember when I was about 19 years old, I was going to the University of Washington, and I was a student there, and I came into a big lecture hall, about 500 people. And there was only two people in the room, because about 15 minutes early. It was me. I was way up on the top of the 500-person auditorium. And this other person was down in the front row. And as I sat there kind of preparing, the Holy Spirit seemed to speak to me and say, all right, I want you to go down and speak to that person about Jesus. And you know what my first response was? That can't be the Holy Spirit. You know, that can be the Holy Spirit. And then my second response was, that must have been me. You know, and I resisted. Why? Because I was uncomfortable. And, you know, of all the times you're wondering whether I went down, no, I did not. And of all the times I have been obedient to the Holy Spirit, boy, times like that are the ones I remember the most. I forget the times I'm obedient. But I never forget often the times I've resisted God. Why? That's just not it's just not comfortable for me to go that direction. So, guys, first of all, come on, listen to the Holy Spirit. See what God is saying. Respond to him. And to it, so be open to that truth, that light, and then respond. But then number two, yielding to the Spirit means gaining insight from other believers. And here's what I mean by that. You say, Art, if you're saying you're gaining, if you're saying you're responding to the Holy Spirit, why should I listen to people? I'll tell you why. The Bible calls it godly counsel. And what happens in your life and in my life when we're resisting God on an issue, often it's like there's static between, you know, have you ever been on a cell phone where the guy says, I'm not hearing you, I'm not hearing you, you know, that's what happens. Like, it's like you're on the other line, the Holy Spirit's speaking, and the cell phone is going out. Well, what does God then do? He brings godly people in your life, friends, family, pastor, other people, who can gather around you and say, you know, we see a problem here. If two or three people in your life say to you, you know what, you have an anger problem, I think you better take that as the voice of the Holy Spirit, okay? If two or three people in your life say, listen, you're not treating your wife correctly, we see this in your life, you better take that as the voice of the Holy Spirit. If these are godly people, godly counsel is so important to the process that, God has for us. So there's static on the line. God often uses other people. And then number three, yielding the Spirit, according to Osborne, I think he's right, means just willing to let God change you. And what he means by that is this. Sometimes we do the right thing, but we don't want to get changed. We do it, but we don't want to get changed. So we say, hey, okay, I'm not going to yell at this guy, but I'm not going to let God do anything with my anger. I'm still going to be an angry person. I'm just not going to yell at this person right now. Okay, I'm not going to act out my lust, but I'm not going to let God do anything about my lust. I don't want to be changed. I'll just kind of conform my outside behavior. Guys, God says in Philippians 2 that he's going to give us the power and the will to change if we'll respond to the Holy Spirit. You got to be willing to let God change you. Not just, you know, yeah, behavior, but change you. Spiritual formation is about the inner you conforming to the person of Jesus Christ. So God will provide the power. And by the way, here's a little suggestion. If God speaks to you and you kind of just know you don't even want to do it, then just be honest with God and say, God, here I am. I'm not willing. But would you help me to be willing to be willing? I mean, if you got to go that far back, or some of you are even going, help me be willing to be willing to be willing. Okay, I don't know how many willings you got to put in there, but be honest with God. And then begin to ask him to help you to will what the next step is. So when the Holy Spirit's talking to you about some character issue, man, you got to be involved with him to say, Lord, I want to do it. Help me to want to do it. And the indwelling presence of the Spirit is the one who will help you. Now, two things. Then, the video camera's capturing. We'd see, boy, Bible knowledge is just, it's all over the place. And yes, we would see character issues being addressed over 5 years. And number three, we would also see that person growing in Christian practices. And I'm talking about things like worship. They would be learning to worship the Lord, or maybe they'd be learning to pray, or maybe they would be learning to serve, or maybe they'd be learning to give or witness, any of those things. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, for we remember before our God and Father how you put your faith into practice. There it is. You put your faith into practice. And if you go on to read that whole chapter, it's all about how the Thessalonians were learning to practice the faith, their love for Jesus Christ. And if you read the Gospels, you know what you see? Jesus did a lot of teaching, but he also spent a lot of time with his disciples helping them to put their faith into practice. And what I mean by that is he'd say, come on guys, I want to teach you how to pray. Or he would say, okay guys, gather around, this is how I want you to reach people for me, to grow God's kingdom. Or he'd come around, okay, come on guys, gather in, I want to teach you about how to serve. What was he saying? I want to teach you how to practice your faith. Why? Because growing believers put their faith to work. That's what the book of James is all about, man. It is about, you have faith, that's great. Now let me tell you what faith will result in. So, guys, if somebody's growing, man, maybe they're becoming a better witness for Jesus Christ. Or they're over 5 years, man, you'd see them, the practice of their faith would begin to change in some way. So, for example, you know, if you're new in the faith, you think, okay, I'll just get rid of the big stuff, cussing, chewing, whatever. You have some moral choice come down the way, and guess what? You have a new choice to make. And God is saying, no, I want you to move in a different direction. But here's what I want you to know. It's not just what you stop doing. You know, putting your faith into practice is not what you stop doing. It's what you start doing. Because, again, you stop cussing, you can stop chewing. That's good. That's fine. That's good. But you think the Lord wants to take you a little bit further than that? You think he wants you to grow the things in what you're doing in your life? So, again, maybe because, you know what, I have the Spirit of God in my life, the Spirit of Jesus. I want to gain a greater relationship with him. I think I need to know how to pray. I'm going to practice my faith by learning how to stay in contact with God. Okay, I better get a couple of friends around who are mature Christians. They'll help me. I'll begin to read about what that means. And I'm going to learn, with God's help, how to stay in contact with Him. Well, that's what you'd see in a growing believer. So guys, you wouldn't grow every day in all three of these areas. You wouldn't go every month in all three of these areas. In fact, many of these would kind of be happening in a non-linear way. But over time, you would see somebody who's growing involved in one or all these three areas. In fact, let me show you, I'm going to read to you, this is a testimony that came into me about somebody who was involved in the Growth Project last year when we talked about this. Here's what he said. I started the Growth Project with great expectations. I've always been challenged in the area of loving others, as I do myself, and so after praying about it, it seemed a good choice. And Christ said to love with all your heart, love Him with all your heart, and to love others as yourself, and I knew I loved the Lord. Now, if I could love others, then that would certainly be considered spiritual growth. So he's saying, okay, in my area, it was Christian character. And the area I wanted to grow in was the area of love. He goes on. Pastor Art saw my choice. This was on our Growth Project website. And he suggested that loving others was a huge undertaking and that I start maybe with just loving my family more in a better way. And at first I was taken aback. How could I love my family any more than I do? I would die for them. There's no greater love than that, right? But after careful consideration, prayer, I decided to concentrate on loving my family. And I learned that what I feel and what I do can be two completely different things. Good insight, wasn't it? I started to slow down a little bit, show my family all the love that I already had for them, not in just providing and meeting needs, but in exceeding their needs by being more patient, listening more, telling them that I love them more. And there were good days and days that I did not do so well. I had questioned whether it was even working sometimes, this whole growth process. And then my wife would say, man, you just seem so much happier and you're doing such a great job in the family. Or my daughter would thank me for going above and beyond the call of duty, and I would get reminded that the process is working. And I still have great expectations for the Growth Project because it got me started on the journey of a lifetime. Now guys, that's somebody who just said, okay, I see what's going on here, and I want to be involved in this. Now, second question is, we know what spiritual growth looks like, but the second question is, how do I specifically grow as a believer? Okay, I can know what spiritual growth is like in general, but how do I get it into my life? How do I grow specifically as an individual? It's a how-to question, and it is so important. Because we know that growth is a process. I say that all the time. You find that in 2 Corinthians 3:18. The Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him. We are changed. It's more and more. Not a one-step deal. Not all at once. It's more and more, bit by bit. It's a process. And what I like to think of, when I think of the growth process in my life, when I speak of spiritual formation, I like to think of a 1,000-piece puzzle. And when I approach a 1,000-piece puzzle that my wife has on dining room table, I go up to the puzzle piece and take one look at it, the puzzle, the whole 1,000, and I just go walk away because it looks so big to me. And yet, well, how do you get a 1,000-piece puzzle together one piece at a time? And that's how puzzle lovers do it. How many of you are puzzle lovers? Some of you, okay, about half of you. I find that in every service. About half of the people go, yeah, we love it. The other people's going, yeah, you can't get me near a puzzle, okay? So, you puzzle people, what's the first thing you do on a puzzle? You do the corners, the outside. Why do you do that? Because it is the easiest thing to do. That's why you do it. It's the most obvious thing. And that's the way spiritual growth is. When you first become a Christian, the most obvious things begin to get changed. Cussing, drinking, you know, carousing. Oh, you go, I don't think Jesus would like that. You know, okay, and you begin to change it. with the Spirit's help. Now, after that, you get all the corners done, what's the next thing that you puzzle lovers love to do? Okay, well, it boils down to you find some big identifiable object in the puzzle, and it's all the same color, and you get all those colors together, and you put that little piece together. Why? Because it is the next easiest thing to do. And that's what happens in the Christian life. You get some of those big things done, and now God kind of centers in on some other things. You stop swearing, okay, that was good. But now God is coming after some other choices that you're making, and he's saying, now I want you to change these, son. And you're going for it that way. Now, maybe you realize, for example, that you're just selfish. Man, I'm selfish. I better take care of that. That's the big barn in my life. You know, I'm just for me. That's a big deal. I better work at that. And with God's help, you do. Now, puzzle lovers, what is the last thing that you ever do on the puzzle? Sky, yeah. Why? The sky. Because it has all these many variations. You can't really, it's hard to see what's going on there. And that's the way it is with the Lord when you've been with him for a little while. He begins to work on these more subtle things, these more subtle areas of your life. And things are a little bit harder, a little more challenging. And God just says, no, you got to keep working on the sky. It doesn't matter. And by the way, longtime believers, the sky never ends for you, okay? I just want you to know that. You're going to be picking up one piece at a time on that sky forever, okay? The bottom line is, God, when you've been a Christian for a while, man, he's going to get nitpicky. He's going to say, you know, Art, you generally have a fair attitude there, but you notice that little punctuation of your voice there that wasn't very kind. Get rid of that. Really? Yeah. That's the sky. That's spiritual formation in the sky right there. Because God gets nitpicky with you, and he has a lot of things to say to you about those things. Now, bottom line, spiritual growth is a long, lifelong process. Don't be overwhelmed, but here's what you do. Pick up one piece of the puzzle. And that's what the Growth Project is all about. When we do this yearly, as part of our strategy, we want to challenge many of you to say, here's one piece of the puzzle I can work on this year. Yeah, God will probably be working on many things, but this one I'm going to be intentional with. This one I'm going to go for, okay? And during that process, remember the Spirit of God is the one who's going to be helping you, so it's going to be okay. You can cooperate in the process, or you can resist, and I recommend cooperation. With the Spirit of God, because it's going to help you. Now, having said all of that, how do you do this spiritual growth? Well, first of all, when the opportunity for growth occurs, capitalize on it. And what I mean by that is, spiritual growth is not linear. It's haphazard. Think about on your own spiritual growth. Very few of us can say, I went from step 1 to 18,000, and it was very ordered, and it was very linear, and I knew exactly what steps were coming next. Can any of you say that? Most of us cannot. For most of us, the road to spiritual growth and maturity is like a meandering path punctuated by occasional stretches of unexpected twists and turns. That's it. So I cannot say, I have the next 420 steps all planned out. This is great, like some great chess player, you know. I'm like 18 moves ahead of you, and I know exactly what to do. No, most of us can't do that. What you've got to do is this. When the opportunity for growth occurs, capitalize on it. And what I mean by that is be intentional about what you're doing. How can you be intentional? Well, first of all, just be aware of your current need. What is the need? What is the need that I see in my life? Most often, God uses two circumstances to help you to be aware of your need. You're going, Art, I have many needs. Okay, yeah, but God uses two circumstances in your life, and one of them is a need to grow situation. Life happens, reveals something to you, and you think, oh man, I'm not very good at that. I can tell you, now I've told this story many times, I'm not going to go over it, but several years ago, I was rude to a clerk at a car rental agency. Now, there were extenuating circumstances. My mother just died. I was going to the funeral. But I was still, basically, I was rude to this person. And I had to go, I got in the car and I said, Naomi, I got to go back in and apologize to this clerk and ask her to forgive me for being rude to her. Well, after I came back, it occurred to me, man, I'm in a need to grow situation because my impatience just dishonored the Lord. And I can't have that. So, Lord, you got to help me. And I began to concentrate on that issue. I was in a need to grow situation. So that happens to us all the time. That's one of the ways you say, okay, I got to pick up this puzzle piece. I've got to deal with it. You know? And I'm going to be intentional about this puzzle piece, about what I'm going to do. The other situation is a need to know situation. And what I mean by that is, you know, your brother, you got a new brother-in-law, and your new brother-in-law does not know Jesus Christ. And you want to tell him about Jesus Christ, but you don't know how. You are now in a need-to-know situation. And somebody reminds you, well, you know, Pastor Art preached a four-week sermon on that, a series on that, about a year ago. I saw you. You took notes. And you go, yeah, but somehow it went from his mouth to my notes without touching my brain. Okay? And why? Why is that? It's because you are not in a need-to-know situation. That's why. That's why legions of college students can come out knowing virtually nothing. Because, and I was one of them. It is that goes from the professor's mouth to your notes without touching your brain. It happens all the time. You're not in a need-to-know situation. So, guys, this need-to-know is God's opportunity in your life. Or let's say you have a moral dilemma at work. Let's suppose you just got a new job, and the union representatives come by, and they say to you, you've got to join the union. And you think to yourself, well, man, the union, at least this union, not all, but this union has things that I know are not godly. I'm not sure I can do that. By the way, that's exactly what happened to me when I became a school teacher. The union rep came by and said, you got to join. I said, I don't think I believe what the WEA believes. And I don't think I'm going to go their direction. And I had to ask, what did I do? I was in a need-to-know situation. So I asked Christian friends about it. I looked at God's word before I made that decision. I was in a need-to-know situation. The Holy Spirit could help me grow in making those kind of decisions. So guys, that's how spiritual growth happens. Now, of course, also, it's just good to look in the mirror once in a while. Some of you have been believers a long time, and you're saying, all right, right now there's no need to know, need to grow. But look in the mirror. In other words, spend some time with the Holy Spirit. Maybe if you say, God, I'm here. Any need to know, any need to grow for me? The Lord may speak to you. By the way, this is one of the reasons that in the Growth Project handbook that we gave out last year, there was a little evaluation time. How you doing here? How you doing here? And it helped you look in the mirror. All right. First of all, become aware of your need. If you're going to practically get involved, become aware of your need. But number two, connect with the people and the biblical resources that can help you grow. As a pastoral staff, we believe that if we can Velcro you to God's word and to God's people, you're going to have what you need to grow. First, you got to get involved with people. You know, on your journey. Life's major trials never happen on schedule. You can't ever say, okay, you know, next year in April, there's going to be a huge, huge problem. Maybe about January, I should start developing some friendships that could help me through that. No! Things don't happen that way. Difficulties, life's crises, etc., need to grow situations, they happen, they just pop up. They're like uninvited guests. Okay, and you've got to deal with them, which means that, man, you better have some people in your life can help you. And the key is just get connected in transparent relationship, and hanging out with other Christians is so crucial. Why? God uses people to form people. And I can tell you that's true in my life. It's true in my life. God uses people to form people. And I'm talking about a small cluster of friends. You don't have to have, you know, 40 friends. And I know it's a little messy. I know friendships are messy. If you took my circle of friends, the people that I know that are closest to me, that I trust the most, who they're in my life, and we'd all stand around a circle and say, yeah, that we all have weaknesses. And because we have weaknesses, we don't always say the right thing. And, you know, relationships are a little messy, aren't they? They're a little messy. Are they worth it, Christians? No doubt about it. One of the ways that they're worth it is because we need those people in our lives to urge us on in the Christian faith. And I said it this way last year. I said there will be times in our lives when all of us need a bear hug because we're down. And then there will also be times in our life when we will need a swift kick in the pants, okay? And we'll need somebody to do that. And the observation that I made last year was this. It is just really hard to self-administer a bear hug or a butt kick, okay? It's hard to do. So I recommend that if you're going to be growing, get aware of your need, but then also have people in your life who can help you with that need. Hebrews 10 sums it up. We're not going to read it, but I have it on your outline there. Hebrews 10 sums the whole thing up. Consider how you may spur one another on. Now also, you guys, not only people in your lives, but remember I said if we can Velcro you to God's people and God's word, we think you're going to grow? Well, so you need specific biblical resources to give input and practical help. It might be a class, it might be a seminar, it might be a how-to, it might be a support group. Guys, you know what, at Lighthouse, I don't think I've ever told you this, there's a whole movement in the Christian circles to simplify church. And I understand their deal because we're all so busy. In fact, there's a book called Simple Church. And basically it says, have a church service on the weekend, get people involved in groups, and then leave them alone. Forget that. Well, guys, our pastoral staff has said this. No, we're not going to do that. What we're going to do, we're not going to expect everybody to be involved in everything, but we're going to have many biblical resources for people so that when people have a need to know or a need to grow situation, they can usually find some biblical input from Lighthouse. And we don't, again, we don't expect you to be involved with every single thing that's going on, but we have those because we have support groups, we have seminars, we have Bible studies, because we think, man, there's going to be a need to know, need to grow situation in your life. And guys, for some of you, it just boils down to studying the Word on your own. My last growth project last year, you know, what part of my plan was just, I'm going to look up every scripture that has to do with this issue. And I'm going to memorize one of those scriptures this year. That was part of my plan. But you're going to have little, option for obedience unless if you're not connected with God's people and God's word. Now, finally, if you want to capitalize on growth opportunity, plan your next steps. Yeah, get aware of your need. Yep, get the people and the resources you need. And then finally, make a plan. Now, in other words, you know what I'm saying? You can't plan every spiritual thing in your life. You can't, okay, I need to grow in 18,000 ways, and boy, this is plan number 16,000. You'd get totally confused. That's the reason I'm saying this year, pick up one piece of the puzzle. God will be working on many things in your life, perhaps informally, but you are going to be intentional about one thing. So what do you do with that one thing? Make a plan. In fact, let me read to you a testimony from last year's growth project. This person wrote this about a month ago and said, here's what I did. God has used the growth project to impact my life in significant ways over the past year. Last spring, I identified my need to grow in the areas of practicing self-control and patience, especially in my responses to frustration with my children. And I wrote out several scriptures that I could remind myself of and what God has to say about these fruit of the Spirit. I memorized James 1, 19 through 20. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. I meditated on other scriptures, such as Psalm 86. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And I shared my struggles with a few close friends who prayed for me and continue to check in with me to see how I'm doing. And through this process, the Lord has taught me the importance of accountability, to recognize my impatience, to repent immediately, and to rely on the Holy Spirit and His strength to help me meet my goals. Now, why do I read you that testimony? She made a plan. What did she do? I'm going to read these scriptures. I'm going to memorize this scripture. I'm going to connect with other believers. I'm going to respond to the Holy Spirit. She had a plan. And as a result of the plan, she made some movement this year in that area. It's so beautiful. Now, my hope has been that during our time together today, that the Holy Spirit of God has been talking to you. That's been my prayer. And that you're listening and that you're responding to the Holy Spirit. And some of you are saying, yeah, it's about time I did that. I worked on that issue. Or yeah, it's about time that I've been following God for a long time and I haven't taken on a challenge in my life. And God is telling me, it's about time you learn to do that a little bit better. And God has been speaking to many of you. That's been my prayer. So here's the way I want to encourage you. Don't worry about the 1,000-piece puzzle. God will do a lot of stuff informally in your life. But get intentional about one piece of the puzzle. Get intentional about it. Work on that issue. And essentially, I'm asking you to consider, what is my need? How can I get God's word and God's people involved? And what's my plan? I'm asking you to say, what's my need to know? What's my need to grow? Now, guys, in the coming months, you know, I'm all ready to go on the growth project. I want God to do it again in my life. And so I hope that all of us do what Ephesians says. We must grow up in every way to Christ. Guys, that's spiritual formation. You've heard that term, spiritual formation. Now you know what it is. The inner life, the inner you, becomes more and more transformed in the image of Christ. Would you take up one piece of the puzzle this year? I hope you will. And some of you will even want to be involved in the growth project formally. But I hope you'll pick up that piece.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.